All right, take your Bible if you would and open with me to Acts chapter number 9, the ninth chapter of the book of Acts. And once you find your place there, I want to talk with you about a book that you may find some interest in. And if you do, then I'll be glad to order you one. I think it'd be a help to everyone, but in particular, maybe young converts, to those that are maybe five years been saved, just very interested in studying the Bible. It's called Journey Through the New Testament. And what it does, it in 90 days, you read the entire New Testament, and the section that you read, day 9, you would read Matthew 26, 27, and 28, and then it has an overview of those chapters and the application of the truths that are taught in there, and then just a journal, that you can write down some things that God gave you as you read that passage, and then a verse or two that you would memorize. And so, if it's something you're interested in, I'm going to leave it up here. Now, this one's already promised to someone, but I think it would be a great help. I've looked through the book. I've been looking for something like this for a long time, and I really think that it would be a help to anyone that's interested in just knowing more about the Word of God. And so I'll leave it here for a few moments after the service. If you're interested, you can take a look at it. And I'll have a list out Sunday. And if you want one, you can sign up for it. And I'll just order for the cost. And that's $12.95. That's the cost of the book. And we'll just get a group order. And I think if you order 15 or more, it might be 11 something. It's not much difference. But anyway, just want to put some books in your hands that will help you to grow in the Lord. And so if you're interested in that, you can come and take a look at it. If you're not, okay, that's fine too. But just if you are, I want to get that book in your hand. Again, it's a 90-day through the New Testament. All right, Acts chapter number 9. How many of you remember what chapter in the book of Acts we were in last Wednesday? I mean, I don't even know where I was yesterday, so I can't, you know, I'm the one who preached it and I had to think about it. Acts chapter number 11. Is the chapter we were in last Wednesday, and we talked about what makes a church Christian. And we took that passage of Scripture. I've been reading through the book of Acts some in my devotional reading, and I remember many years ago, I started pastoring when I was 25 years old. Well, I candidated for the church when I was 25, and I was voted in there when I turned 26. And, you know, never pastored a church, a young man, just a lot to learn, for sure. Still have a lot to learn. I want to make that very clear. I'm open to it also. But I tell you, I had a lot more to learn then than I do now. And I'll never forget, I just had this, I guess it's the way it is when you're young, you just have this idea of the way things are going to be, and it wasn't that way. You know, and I'll just leave it at that. However, I got some counsel from Dr. Jerry Clark, who I esteem highly. He was the dean of the Bible college I attended. And he said, Brother Freeman, he said, I could just recommend you to read the book of Acts. He said, you know, the book of Acts is the church in its infancy, and you're just getting started. And he said, I think you can learn a lot. He said, I know I did, and I think it'll be a help to you. And so instead of trying to tell me, this was something I appreciated, instead of trying to tell me what to do, he told me what to read, so that God could tell me what to do. And that was the kind of counsel that that man gave. And I'm forever grateful that each time that I sought counsel from him, he rarely told me, this is what you do. You know, this is the way I do it. You know, he would always just guide me to Scripture and say, won't you read that? It helped me when I read it, and perhaps God will give you something from it. And each time I did, it certainly did help me. And I remember reading through the book of Acts and just seeing things that God was doing in the church, you know, and I thought, well, you know what, if God did it in that church, then he must want me to do it in this church. And we had us a first century church right there in Cleveland, South Carolina, and I think we have one here, right here in Madison County. I really do. I just think that if we just stick to the Scripture and just do what the Scripture says, we may not be able to do it exactly the way they do it, but I don't know that God wants us to do anything exactly the way others do it. You know, we're a different group of people with a different group of and set of skill and talent that God's given us. And so we just want to do what the Lord would have us to do. So what does God want us to do in Madison County? What does God have us here in Madison for? Why are we here tonight? Why will we meet again Sunday? And why have we met in the previous Sundays and Wednesdays and have special meetings? And why will we continue to do so? Why the church? Well, it's a place to make friends. And I wouldn't deny that. I've made many friends in church. Thank God for the church. And we could just list all the benefits of the church. Well, it's a place to have great fellowship. And you can't deny that. It's a great place to have great fellowship. Well, it's a place to hear good music. Well, that's true, too. I think we've got some of the best. I praise God for the musical talent that God's given us here at Fellowship Baptist Church. To me, it's second to none. It's just a blessing. And so we could go on and on. But I want to narrow it down to what saith the Scriptures. What did God plant the church for? Well, I think there's two power words that we find here in Acts chapter 9. I just want to read one verse of Scripture to you, and then we'll pray. And we'll talk about these two words when we discuss the purpose of the church. The purpose of the church. Look in verse 31 of Acts chapter number 9. Now, you have to kind of go back, and I'll just give you just a brief backdrop. The church had been scattered under deep persecution, you know, from Saul of Tarsus, and then Saul gets saved, and the disciples are afraid of him. I mean, you would have been too. You say, I wouldn't have been afraid of him. Well, I don't know now. I mean, he's pretty rough character. He was hauling people into jail and having them persecuted and executed, and he came and he said, hey, I'm one of you now. And they said, well, we don't know about that. And Barnabas took him and brought him to the disciples, said, yeah, now he is. I've heard him preach. This man's, he's a preacher. He preached Christ unto the Jew and the Gentile. This man is for real. And so that's just what's happened. You can read this starting in chapter 8 in your own time. And then we come down. So there's a lot had been happening, okay? They had that church in Jerusalem and, my goodness, in chapter 6, a lot of complaining, and so they had to call out some men to be what many consider to be the first deacons of the church, and just a lot going on, and in a short period of time. And then verse 31 said this, then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria and were edified. And walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. So, it's like they had a lot going on, you know, and problems and growth and people getting saved and threatenings and, I mean, just a lot going on. And then it's like they reached this certain plateau to where it was kind of a resting place. It's almost like they were scaling this mountain. A lot had taken place, and instead of continuing to climb, God just kind of leveled them off some and said, now hold right here and evaluate and look back over what's happened, learn from it, okay, and then look forward to what I have for you. But right here is a good place to do some soul searching, some evaluation, and find out what your purpose is. That's good in life. That's not only good collectively as a church body, but that's good individually as a born-again child of God. You know, things just start coming at you and start happening. If we're not careful, we get so enthralled in all that's happening in our lives that we don't really take time to evaluate and examine and to do some introspection and find out what God wants us to do and what we've done that pleased God and what we've done that maybe did not please God and what God wants us to do with those things. But that's what's happening here, all right? Now, there's two words before we pray that I'd like for you that you would underline. I preached this message back in probably 2012-13 at one of our outings that we had as a church. I think it was maybe a homecoming, and I didn't get into the detail like I'm going to tonight. So I want you to underline, if you haven't already, or at least point these words out, the word edified. You see that word there? That's a very important word. It's a very important word. We're going to talk about it. We're going to talk about what it means, why it's one of the primary purposes of the church. One of the primary purposes of the church is edification. People need to be edified. And I want you to notice it's the word that's mentioned first, because edified people multiply. If you're not edified, you won't be multiplying. If you're not multiplying, it's because you're not being edified. So he said the first thing that these churches did is they edified. They were edified and were edified. And walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. Now here's two power words. Okay, these are words that the church, the first church, were engaged in. They were edifying. They were discipling believers. They were taking people to the side and they were teaching them what thus saith the scripture. And they were teaching them the way of Christ. They were edifying. That word means build up. You look in your dictionary and you'll find a word called edifice. And the word edifice means building, structure. Usually a structure that kind of just demands attention. It's just a big structure. And so the word building, edified, it build up. And so these people needed to be built up. They were edified. When you get saved, you need to be built up. Getting saved is not the end, it's the beginning. And then you begin to build and you begin to grow and you begin to learn and you begin to understand and you begin to work and you begin to serve. And God just does a work in your life. It's an ongoing work. So this is a very important work. And it's an inside job. Okay? This takes place inside. See, God will never work through a church until he works in a church. Amen. See, God works in the church. We are the church. And God builds us up. Why? Because there's an enemy. And there's a world out there that will, listen, it'll swallow you up if you're not careful. So you need to be built up. And you need to be edified. And you need to be strong in the faith. You see. So you can fight the good fight. It's a fight now. And so the churches were edified. They were built up. And then the second thing is an outside job. It's not the inside. It's multiplied, you see. See, before God will work through a church, you got to work in it. The inside is edified. The outside is where you multiply. Now, I'm not saying that people can't get saved in the church. I'm not saying that at all. But what I am saying is when people are edified, they'll go get people, and if they can't get them saved in their home, at least they'll get them to the church so they can get under the sound of the gospel and be saved. It all starts on the inside, edified, and then comes the multiplied. You see those two words? Very important words. They're power words. They're words that describe the primary purposes of the church, and I want to talk to you about them tonight. Father, thank you for your word. Help me to be faithful to it, and help us to be open to the teaching of the Word of God tonight. Speak to our hearts and help us to understand what our role in this local assembly is. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so let's talk about this. A lot of churches are unbalanced, and we can become unbalanced, not just as a church, but as individuals. Some people say, well, you know, it's all about going and we'll just say finding sheep. Well, you got to find sheep. You got to get them saved. Amen. It's part of the Great Commission. You say, well, that is the Great Commission. Nope, that's not. No, it's not. It's part of the Great Commission. That is not the Great Commission. Well, the Great Commission is getting people saved. Nope, that's a part of the Great Commission. That's not all. Then after you get them saved, you teach them to observe, Jesus said, all things whatsoever I have taught you. See, so you get them saved. You find the sheep, and then what? You feed the sheep, right? That's right. You don't feed the sheep until you find them. You got to get them first. Get them saved. You can't feed the sheep until they become sheep. You got to get them saved. You got to find them, and then you got to feed them. You got to win them, then you got to watch for them. That's what the Scripture teaches. This is the two primary purposes: winning souls, getting people saved. So there's a ministry to the saints. That is the discipleship. That is the edifying. You don't build up lost people. You don't. So the first purpose of the church, look at verse number 31 again. Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria and were edified. All right? Discipleship. Building up believers. That is a ministry to the saints. This has nothing to do with the sinner here. But now the second part has everything to do with the sinner. So there's a ministry. The church's primary purpose now is to the saints and to the sinner. To the saints, edified. You don't edify lost people. The saints get edified. And you can't multiply with saved people, right? Yeah, well, we got one coming, got saved again. That's an impossibility. That's an impossibility. So you multiply through the lost, you edify to the saved. You see what the Word of God is teaching us here? And so he said right here that in this early church, they had to evaluate. They kind of took a rest. They had a rest from the persecution, from all that was happening there. And they were edified. They were built up. And then the scripture says, the latter part, and walking in the fear of the Lord and the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. So, you see, when people are edified, when they're taught, when they are grounded in the faith, when they are growing, they have a concern for lost people. So, well, I don't have much of a concern for lost people. You're not reading your Bible regular. You can't read the Bible regularly without having a concern for lost people. Amen. Because that's the Word of God, and the Word of God will prick you in your heart and help you to understand, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. If a man doesn't get saved, he's not going to heaven. And his life here on earth will be a waste. It'll have no purpose. It'll have no purpose, no passion, and there'll be no pardon. And so he said, I want them to be edified. Now let's talk about this for a moment. The church of Jesus Christ in the New Testament is viewed primarily in three ways. And I want to talk to you about this one way, the building, okay? But I want to mention the bride, okay? When the church is mentioned, it's mentioned as the bride of Christ. We are the bride of Christ. Amen? Now, why are we mentioned as the bride of Christ? What does that speak of? What is our role as the bride of Christ? What does God want to teach me about my role as a part of the church as being the bride of Christ? Well, primarily, it speaks about fidelity. God wants me to be faithful. God wants a faithful bride for his son. Jesus wants a faithful bride. He wants a pure bride. Amen. That's right. You read Ephesians 5. Revelation 19, the scripture talks about a pure bride, a bride that is faithful. And so one of the pictures, one of the cameos of the church in the Bible is the bride, and it speaks about our fidelity. We ought to be faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now there's a second picture that the Bible gives of the church, and that is the body. We are the body of Christ. We're not just the bride of Christ. The bride, when the Bible refers to us as the bride, it speaks about our purity and about us being faithful, and it speaks about our fidelity. But now when it speaks about the church as the body, right? Jesus is the head of the church. We're the body. Now why does God refer to the church as the body? Well, this doesn't speak about the fidelity. This speaks about the function, right? The function of the church. We're each one members of the body. And every one of our members, our hands, our feet, our arms, our legs, every body part we have has a function. And so when God refers to us as the body of Christ, he's saying that the church collectively has a function. Now you have a function in the church. See, God has given you a gift. That's why you need to be in church faithfully. So you can exercise your gift in the local church. When you are not exercising your gift in the local church, the church goes lacking. See, God gave you a set of skills and God gave you a set of gifts that you're to use. And he outlined those gifts in 1 Corinthians 12, Ephesians chapter 4, Romans chapter 12. God, he outlines these gifts and these abilities. And he says, I have gifted each one that I placed within the body. Now, the body that meets at Fellowship Baptist, see, there's people with different gifts here. I have some gifts that you don't have. And it's obvious you have some gifts that I don't have. That's obvious. And if we'll each one use our gifts, the scripture says it profits with all. Isn't that what the scripture says in 1 Corinthians 12? We profit others. You say, well, preacher, I don't have any gifts. Oh, listen, you're not only short-selling yourself, you're not understanding what God has done for you. God has given you some gifts and some abilities. And when you use those gifts, there's not only fulfillment in using those, but you're not only going to receive a blessing, but you're going to be a blessing to someone else. So, well, I can't be a blessing to anyone. Oh, no, that's just not so. That's just not so. Now, listen to me. There's many people who think, well, I don't preach or teach or sing or play an instrument, so I can't help the church. Well, that's the farthest thing from the truth that you could ever imagine. That's just not so. God has given every one of us gifts. You have a gift. If you're saved, listen, when you got saved, you received a few things from God. Number one, eternal life. Amen. Number two, the indwelling, the permanent indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And then he gave you gifts and abilities. Yes, he did. At the time you got saved, God gifted you with ability, talents, the scripture calls them, to serve him and to help others in the body that he places you into. And so every local assembly is a part of the body. This is the part of the body that meets at Fellowship Baptist. We're a church, amen? And we're not only the part of the bride of Christ, but we're part of the body of Christ. As a part of the bride, God wants us to be faithful, and God wants us to be pure and clean and to represent Christ well. And then as part of the body, he wants us to exercise the function that he's given us. What gift has God given you? What gift? We heard three people stand up tonight. One sit down and play. That's a gift from God. Three stood up and sang. That's gifts from God that God gave them. What gifts has he given you? So he certainly hasn't given me a gift to sing. Well, he hasn't me either. But you see, God, he gives gifts as it pleases him. And whatever gifts God's given you, he's given you to use for him. And so I pray that you'd use your gift now. Say, preacher, I'm not sure what my gift is. Well, let me give you those references again. And if you'll read the scripture, God will reveal to you in the scripture what your spiritual gifts are. Okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. And Ephesians chapter 4. Okay? Now, those are the primary sections of the scripture that deal with the gifts. Now, that's not the only sections, but it's the primary sections that even list the spiritual gifts that God gives. And so I just pray that you would find your gift and use it for God. It'll not only, as I said, be a blessing to you, but it'll be a blessing to us. And we'll glean one from another. That's how we can exhort one another when we come together. That's why we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Because we are to exhort one another. We're to exercise our spiritual gifts to profit one another for the glory of God. Now, the third picture in the New Testament, we said the first one was what? The bride. The bride. And that is for fidelity. And then there's the body. And that is for our function. But this third picture, look at it here in verse number 31. He said, and the churches had rest and were edified. And as I said, that word comes from edifice, which means building. Building. And that's what God's church is viewed as. It's given that name. Ye are the building of God, Paul said in 1 Corinthians. The building of God. And so what is the picture that God gives when he's talking about, well, you know, there's the bride, and then there's the body, and then there's the building. The building. What is it? What does God want us to do here as far as we said the bride was what? Fidelity. Be pure. Be clean. Amen. Keep yourselves from sin. That's what the scripture teaches. But then understand what your function is. Right? Your function. Let's look at this. Let's look at this just for a little bit as we talk about the building. Turn, if you would, and we'll find out what the purpose of God referring to us as a building over in Ephesians. Would you turn there? Ephesians chapter number 2. Ephesians 2. Would you turn there? See, God wants us to be built up. God wants us to be built up. Now, how's that going to happen? Now, I don't want you to miss this. This is really, really important. There's a lot of folks that think churches can be built on entertainment. Churches cannot be built on entertainment. Now I want you to listen to me. Churches can get a lot of people to come through entertainment, but it doesn't last. It doesn't last. I've seen them come and I've seen them go, brethren. I mean, they'll blow up to 1,000 people by, I don't know, turning cartwheels and dry ice and concerts, and but it doesn't last. Doesn't last. They just as soon as they come and as quick as they grow, they fizzle out. You know why? Because when God gets ready to build a church, He's only going to build it on one thing. And it's really not a thing, it's a person. Let's find out what the Scripture says. Because the Scripture's always right. The Bible's always right. You can't build a church on a personality. Can't build a church on a pastor. Now, listen, it's happened. It's happened. They fizzle out. They plateau and then they fizzle out. Seen it over and over and over again. And in my 35 plus years of ministry, I've watched them come and I've watched them go. I've watched them rise and I've watched them fall. It doesn't work. Well, we're a singing church. What? Thank God for good singing. Don't misunderstand me now, but you don't build a church on singing. Amen. If you do, it's not going to last. It's not going to last. What do you build a church on? A firm foundation. Let's look here what the Scripture says. So the bride, fidelity. The body, function. All right? But when it comes to the building, foundation. The foundation is what matters. Look at what the Scripture says. We're in Ephesians chapter 2. Look, if you would, in verse number 20. He's talking about the church. He's talking about the saints. And he said, are built up upon the foundation, not foundations, the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. So what's he saying? He's saying as part of the building, there's one foundation, and that foundation is Jesus Christ. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, he said, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Okay? That's the only thing you can build a church on, Jesus Christ. If you don't preach and teach Jesus, the church, it'll just fizzle. Oh, I've seen them blow up to thousands through entertainment and through all of that, almost a circus act. But just as quick as they blow up, they fizzle out. They fizzle out. And they have full of immorality, full of all manner of worldliness and carnality. But when you build a church on the Word of God and the person of Christ, which are one and the same, you can't separate them. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Can't separate them. When you preach the Bible. So we want people to come, preacher, then we just need to keep preaching the Bible. God will send people in to hear His Word. If we'll be faithful to the Bible, just keep preaching the Bible, God will send them in, brethren. He will. And the Bible changes lives. The Bible changes hearts. I've seen the hearts, the hard, cold, stone hearts of man melt under the convicting power of the authoritative Word of God. I've watched it happen time and time again. And many of you have too. It's Bible preaching that'll get the job done. Bible preaching will get the job done. And so he said, you need to be edified. Now, how am I going to be edified? Well, we need to water it down. Well, folks, they won't keep coming if you preach against sin, preacher. Oh, yeah, they will. Oh, yes, they will. See, we need preaching against sin because that's part of the Bible. Amen. Now, we need to be edified. We need to be encouraged. That's right. We need to be encouraged. We need to be taught doctrine, but we need reproof too. We need correction. Yes, we need instruction, but brethren, we need it all. Amen. We need to hear all the Bible. So well, there's just sometimes I don't like when somebody preaches this or that. Well, if it's Bible, then whether you like it or not, you need to let God deal in your heart with it. And I'm the same way. I don't like it when somebody mentions something about I'm doing and I just try to write it off as that's a preference that he has. Well, now, if it's thus saith the Scripture, you're going to have to deal with it or you're not going to have any peace in your life. Amen. So, well, I'll outweigh God. No, you won't. God's eternal. He'll be on the backside waiting on you to get there. Amen. Now listen to me. I'm talking to you about preaching the Word of God. A foundation where you build on Jesus Christ. A ministry to the saints. A ministry where we're edified. See, some people, as we go back to Acts chapter number 9, some people think, well, you know, edified means just kind of pampering and just kind of soothing. And No. I found out long time ago, hard places, tough things, it's what builds character. Amen. So I want it easy all my life. Well, you're not going to amount to much. That's right. You need some toughness. You need some hard places. And God knows that in my life, and He knows it in yours. And that's why God will allow hard times to come. That's why God will allow those things in our lives to teach us what it is. It's okay to struggle, brethren. It's all right to struggle. People think, well, you know, we live in America. We ought not struggle. Well, God wants you to struggle sometimes. It's good for us. See, when if we're not careful, if we get everything we want, when we want it, how we want it, we'll think we're in control. Well, you're not in control. I'm not in control. God's in control. And God will allow you to go through some hard places in your life to teach you to depend on Him. That's right. See, we're proud people. Amen. We're proud people. And God will humble us by allowing things to happen in our lives to teach us you're not in control. How many of you think you're proud? Raise your hand. See, you're too proud to raise your hand. We're all proud. We all struggle with it, don't we? We all struggle with it. And God just does it for our good, brethren. And so I want to talk to you one more time before I move on to this last point. Edified. Built up. Are you being built up? Can you see what God is doing in your life? When God puts His finger on something in your life, how do you respond to that? Do you get angry at the messenger? Don't get angry at the messenger. If he's telling you what God said, don't get angry at him. Now, some of you have done that. I've done it in my life. And some of you have done it as well. You can't stay mad at the messenger. You can, but it's not going to do any good. It's not going to change the truth. And so when the truth of the Word of God is preached and God puts His finger on something in your life, best thing to do is just repent of it, humble yourself before the Lord and say, God, I've sinned and I'm sorry and I want You to forgive me. That's the way you deal with sin in your life. Not bow up and say, well, I'm not going to do it. I don't care what anybody says. Well, now you're getting ready to mess up. And you'll never out-joust God now. It'll never happen. And God wants to build you up and make you strong now. He wants you to be strong in the power of His might. And He wants you to be steadfast. And He wants to build us up. And the way He builds us up is, well, let me give you just a few things here before I move on to this last point. I just want to give you a few things. Turn to Jude just for a moment. These are just a few things. Say, how can I be built up? Well, let's look and see. Turn to the book of Jude. Would you turn there to the book of Jude? Just want to give you just a few things. Now, there's others, and I hope you'll search them out. Look at Jude just for a moment. These are some ways that we can be built up. All right? Are you in the book of Jude? Look at verse number 20. Jude, verse 20. You there? But ye, beloved, here we go now, building up yourselves. See? You want to be built up? Here's how you can do it. On your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Get in God's Word. That's how you get built up in the most holy faith, because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And then pray. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Do some Spirit-filled praying. Is that what the Bible says, brethren? This is what the Bible says. You say, well, I want to be built up Christian. I don't want to be a weak Christian, preacher. I don't want to stay a weak Christian. I want to be built up. I want to be a strong Christian. Well, get in the Word of God. Build up yourself. Look at verse 20 again. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves, you see, on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. So there's a way you can build yourself up. Get in God's Word. Spend some time in prayer. Be in communion with God. That's what builds us up. Let me give you a couple more before we bring this to a close. Okay, turn over, if you would, to 1 Corinthians. Would you turn there? Turn to 1 Corinthians just for a moment. We'll start at 1 Corinthians chapter number 8. This is the ministry of the saints. You're built up. You come and you hear Sunday school teaching, you hear preaching, you hear the Word of God preached, you go home, you do your Bible reading, you pray, you fellowship with God. That builds you up. So I'm going to wait till there's a crisis and then I'm gonna start doing all that stuff. No, that's not going to work. See, a lot of people do that, don't they? They do what's called crisis praying, crisis reading, crisis church attendance. They get in trouble and they run to the church and they think, well, God's going to make it okay. They get in trouble and they say, I'm going to start reading my Bible. No. You don't wait until it's time for the match to begin, the wrestling match to begin, before you start lifting the weights. If you do, you're going to get pinned right away. Yeah. You do in anticipation of what's coming. And that's what God wants us to do daily as we walk with Him. 1 Corinthians, look at chapter 8. Now, as touching things, look at verse 1. As touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up. But look at this. But charity edifieth. There's a word. Builds up. Are you a charitable person? Do you love people? Do you really love people? Well, I tell people I love them. Well, there's a lot of people say I love you. They don't mean it. I'm not saying you're that way. I'm just saying there's a lot of people. And you know what I'm saying, so. Just because someone says I love you doesn't mean they love you. Brethren, can I tell you something? If love cannot be found in the house of God, where's it going to be found at? We're God's people. The Bible says in 1 John chapter number 4, beloved, let us love one another. We ought to love one another. So I don't agree with this one. I don't agree with that one. Well, the Bible didn't say you have to agree with everybody, but it did say y'all love everybody. Amen. And here, you want to be built up, love people. I'm telling you, again, what God's word's never wrong, brethren. You want to be built up? You want to be strong? Learn how to love people, even your enemies. Look again, verse number 1 of chapter 8. The last part there says, knowledge puffeth up. See, a lot of people think, well, I'm going to church so I can learn. Well, be careful about that. Because if you just learn and that's all, if you don't practice what you learn, you'll become puffed up and you'll think you know more than you think you know. I think our churches are full of those kind of folks. The whole time the preacher's preaching, they're back there correcting him. Yeah, well, he could have said this, should have said that. Well, if I'd have been up there, I'd have said this. Yeah, I know. And the Bible says right here that knowledge, you be careful about that knowledge. I don't know that God's really as much concerned about what you know as what you're doing with what you know. Amen. He said charity's what builds you up. Love. Is that what he said, brother? He said, knowledge will puff you up. He said, but charity will build you up. It edifieth. Is that what God's word says? Let's look at one more in chapter 14, and then we'll close with that final thought on multiplication. All right, look at chapter 14. First Corinthians 14. If you look at verse number 4, he said, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself. I could preach a whole message on that. We got folks running around trying to get us to speak in tongues. Well, I don't know that I want to do that if it's just going to edify me. But he said this in verse number 4, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church. See, we're concerned about each other, right? We build up ourselves. Why? So we can build up each other. We love each other. Charity edifieth, right? Well, in order to practice charity, we're going to have to love more than ourselves. We're going to have to love others. And so when it comes to this thing of the gift, the prophecy. Now listen, that could be teaching, could be preaching, could be testifying. That's right. Look at verse number 26 of chapter 14. Look at the last phrase there. Let all things be done unto edifying. That's kind of convicting, isn't it? Isn't it, brethren? When you're talking to someone about someone else, are you doing it unto edifying? Am I? The Bible says, let all things be done unto edifying. God's real concerned about the edifying part. I just want you to know now. And it's what's going to make us a God-approved church or not. It's what's going to make us an effective church or not. And I believe God has his hand on the work, and I believe that we want to be edified. And we can be edified, and we should be edified. But we're going to have to follow what the Scripture says to be. Let's bring this to a close as we go back to Acts chapter 9. So, in Acts chapter 9, they were edified. They were built up. They were built up. And we can be built up. We can build ourselves up, Jude said, or through prophecy, through teaching, through encouragement, we can be built up by others. We can build up others. We ought to be part of that. Let all things be done unto edifying. No matter what you do, listen, even if you have to rebuke somebody, make sure you do it with the right spirit, because you want to help them and not harm them. There's nothing wrong with rebuke and reproof as long as it's done in the right spirit. Right? That's what the Scripture teaches. Don't be so sensitive either. When God sends someone to you to reprove you or rebuke you, don't be so sensitive and defensive and think, you know, well they're coming after me. Well, it might be more than them coming after you. It may mean the Holy Spirit's trying to work in your heart and life, and he's using them to do it. You have to consider that. And so I pray that you would. Now, not only were they edified, but the Bible says they were multiplied. I want to ask you this, and I could say some things here, but I'm going to bring this to a close. What are you doing to multiply? What are you doing to be edified? Well, obviously, I look around, and many, if not most of you, are faithful to every church service. So you're putting yourself under the preaching and the teaching of God's Word. I believe that many, if not all, sitting under the sound of my voice, I don't know what your Bible reading schedule is. That's not between me and you. That's between you and God. But the Bible says that you ought to get in God's Word and build up yourself. Do you love people? Are you edifying through charity? Are you doing things to build people up or tear them down? See, if the church is going to be built up now, it's going to be us that does it. God's going to use us. He's given us gifts and abilities, and he's going to use those gifts and abilities, but we're going to have to put them to work in order for them to help one another. All right? That's edified. That's built up. But now, let's go outside the church. That's inside. Then as we go out, are you multiplying? We ought to have some people on the list. And I thought about this today, and I thought, God, I'm sorry. We ought to have people on, we ought to be able to look around and say, you know what, I'm going to try to build this one up, and I'm going to try, I ought to have a list of those I want to try to edify and those I want to multiply. I ought to have a list, a running list, just keep a running list of people I want to try to build up and encourage and edify, and people I want to try to get saved. And then hopefully I can get them from this category over to this category. Amen? Once we get them multiplied and get them into the body of Christ, we can begin to edify them and build them up through discipleship. Who are you multiplying? Are there people that you're witnessing to, that you're going after, that you're trying to get them saved, that you're praying for them, that you're regular in praying and trying to get them into church or trying to get them to have Bible study or giving them material to read? How are you trying to multiply people? Those are the primary purposes of the church. So, well, I give to missions. Well, thank God for that. That's a great way. Amen. I give out tracts. That's a great way too. But it shouldn't end there. There ought to be some personal one-on-one conversation with people about the need of their soul. It ought to get some people multiplied. Those are the two primary purposes of the church. To edify and to multiply. God help me and God help you. God help us collectively to be busy about that. That's the purpose of the church. Let's stand to our feet.